Well, praise God. Well, tonight we're back into our teaching on avoiding tragedy. The things that we can do, we've been looking at a number of things. Last week we went over the areas of talking about Job some. In there were some things that the Lord wanted me to deal with concerning Job, and so we spent some time there. But we're looking at things, especially from the standpoint, as things that we can do, because we're in this world, and in this world there's things that are come along in life that we have to deal with. But many times people do things that cause them major problems. You know, the Bible tells us that we reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. So we got to make sure that we're about things that we're doing and not doing, you know, that may cause us problems. God's in the blessing business. That's what he wants to do, is bless people. And so I thank God that he's given us his word and showing us things to stay away from. You know, some people look sometimes, the Bible has do's and don'ts, like as if it's some kind of bad thing. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible says that you don't do. God never told us not to do certain things because he didn't want us to have a good time. Because he knows what the end of result will be if you do those things. And it's so we can be blessed by not doing certain things. Hallelujah. We want to follow the word. So we want tonight, I'm going to go over the book of James. We're going to talk about a subject here dealing with the tongue. Specifically, something that what James wrote in the third chapter. And one of the things is, I was very thankful in the areas of teaching and the area of healing. Kenneth Hagin, teaching the areas of faith, talked about confession, that stuff. And he would make mention about this area, but there's a lot of his teaching. He didn't specifically go through a lot of teaching on here. But I was led by the Holy Spirit as a young Christian to spend time over in here. And there was things of revelation I began to understand that will really be helpful to you. I've talked about this before. Many times Christians will start to practice things when a problem arises. And what you have to, you know, we have to be more proactive in life than we are waiting till something takes place. You know, it's sort of like, you know, we used to have when I, you know, worked at Reese Candy Company, we used to have, you know, maintenance that was done, and you had this preventive maintenance programs and stuff that you ran. So when times your equipment was shut down, there was things that you went in through, and there's certain major things that you checked and make sure if repairs needed to be done. Some things you went in and did and serviced them, whether or not at the time they might seem to be working okay, but you still did certain service things on them, because when you're up and running, you don't want things going haywire. It was about making candy so you could make money. And I always want them to make money, because if they made money, they gave me a paycheck. So that was good to get. So you wanted them to make money, so you got a paycheck. And so the more you ran and that stuff, we always got good raises and all kind of things like that. It was a good thing. So, but you wanted to make money. There was a purpose. Well, it's the same way with blessing in the Christian life. This is one of the things that I've watched over time period, is Christians don't realize sometimes the important it is to set certain things about a lifestyle that you have, that you do things. That, you know, it is sort of like, I guess you could say things like in your body you could do to make your immune system work well. So if something comes along, your body's already working good. Is you don't, you know, you don't wait to get sick and start taking vitamins. Well, that ain't going to do you a whole lot of good to your body if you need the vitamins till they would actually start really getting into your system and actually working and doing the things you needed. You waited too long. And so we want to look at this as James is talking here. And we're starting in the third chapter, verse 1. He says, my brethren, he says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And he says this, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. One of the things we want to see, which is really, I really thought it was interesting, the fact that when James wrote this, he put this in here and opened this thing up. I'm going to deal with the tongue, but he deals with opens it up with about being teachers. And says that he tells us to not let many of you become teachers. And this is an important thing, because I found out over the years there's many people that want to teach other people, but they're not called to do it. And that's not a good thing to do. That is not a good... That doesn't mean somebody can't share what they know with other people generally. But when we're dealing with offices and people want to get over the areas of ministry, I've looked over the years and I've known this. There's been people out here, they're a full-time ministry, but they weren't called to it. and you know that being around them. There's some people that are, you know what, they can do things pretty good, you know, on their own. They're sort of flamboyant and they can, you know, did. And people like to follow after them, but they don't have anointing in what they do. They don't have an anointed. People don't know. People just, you know, because they're pretty charismatic and they're pretty good. People like that, and they just follow with. But they don't have an anointing to do what they do. It's one of the things is, why is this? Because if any areas you get into like this, what you do, like say stepping into a gift area of gifting that you don't have, it's dangerous for you because, well, number one, it says that here that there's a stricter judgment on the individuals in this office. And there's number one, you don't want to not be called to the office and under a stricter judgment. You don't want to be there. It's number one, it ain't God going to get you, but I'll tell you what, the devil will. You leave the door open to the devil to attack you. You don't usurp authority into an area you don't have. You don't do that. It's not a good thing to do. And, you know, it's just like naturally in business, it's good. You ever see people always usurping their authority into somebody else's authority, and after a while, they're not at that place anymore. You just keep doing that. You get yourself in trouble. You might lose your job. And, you know, I've learned that you don't take authority on if somebody else, I don't care if they ain't doing their job right, if they're in charge, that's up to them, man. And if the company ain't going to deal with it, that's their problem. You know, I just do my job, they pay me. And people always trying to get, you know, take the authority over somebody else. You got to be very careful about those things. Because it's really amazing. The company will usually stick with the person that they don't want to admit they were wrong either. They're not going to do that. So that's something they have to deal with. But don't do that. But here's one thing. Now listen to what he says. For we all stumble in many things. Now here's another thing, because he's talking about people in ministry-wise, in other words, being teachers. And now he's going to talk about the tongue, but he says they stumble in many ways as wise teaching. You want to make sure you have the anointing to teach. You know, there was a minister back in the 1950s. He was William Branham. William Branham had a absolutely phenomenal prophet's ministry. It's amazing. I mean, that man, God would use him from the standpoint, he would minister people under the word of knowledge. He would talk to people about their life, things going on. I mean, people would know it was God because, I mean, he would just know things that there's no way anybody else could have ever known about stuff. And he would minister people, and he had a healing ministry and miracles. I mean, miracles, dear. I'm talking about miracles, not just regular healings. Miracles. Phenomenal. Well, toward the end of the 1950s, God started bringing, because like the church, during the 50s, the healings revival brought so many people into the kingdom. So many people got born again. God started bringing teaching ministries forward. People started getting anointing, and teaching ministries became very popular. And William Branham decided he wanted to be a teacher, but he didn't have the teaching anointing. And this is one thing you need to understand. If you don't have the anointing and you try to step in the office, I guarantee you're going to start teaching things that ain't scriptural. And that's what he started doing. See, he's trying to teach, and he didn't have the anointing to do it. See, I'll never forget when the teaching anointing came on me. To me, it blew my mind. Because before it came on me, when I would think about teaching, I'd think about, all this work you got to go do, sit down and try to study things out, notes and all that kind of stuff and things. And when his teaching anointing came on me, it's like, oh my God. I mean, stuff would just kind of start coming to me. I'd sit down and, you know, I'd pray and read the Bible and stuff, but stuff would come to me I just knew what to do. I thought, man, this is something else. This is absolutely a phenomenal thing. This is incredible. Well, it was nothing, you know, it has nothing to do with being smart or intellectual. It has, don't have a thing in the world to be done. I mean, it's just like, I tell you, I don't work it hard at trying to get messages. I spend more time trying to figure out which one you're supposed to teach. Because there's things always coming to me. But it's the gift. It is not, I am not smart. It's the gift. And see, I know we had a pastor. We were, Wanda and I were in church, and his pastor we had, I never seen a man struggle so much in my life of trying to get messages. This poor guy, it was terrible for him. I used to think, I asked the Lord about it, and the Lord told me, he said, yeah, he said, I called the man, I called him. But he said, he don't yield to the gift. He's always trying to stay over the intellectual side. He's always trying to figure things out. See, I didn't have that problem. I wasn't a genius. I needed the gift. I was in good shape. I needed the gift. And so the gift works wonderfully. And he would never yield the gift. And that man constantly struggled. Every week, it was a big chore to get a message together. And I'll never forget, I used to sit there and think, man, this is the easiest thing in the world, getting a poor guy. He goes through this thing all the time, trying to get a message, trying to get something, trying to make something. I wouldn't know what he'd have done if God would have done what he did with me and then told me, he said, I don't want you to teach line upon line anymore. I want you to teach by inspiration. And then I had to say, well, sometimes I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do till I got up. I don't think he'd have went to church. I'm serious. And I'm serious. I think he wouldn't have showed up at church. That would have just blown his mind to not. Because he struggled and struggled. And that's why it's the gift. The gift has to do about words that you speak. See, you can start getting up and talking your words. And boy, we got, that's one of the great problems we're dealing with. Too many men have talked. And God didn't. People are talking. And it's not God. And so, but, now listen to this. He makes this statement. He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. That word there, perfect, means the idea of mature, being mature. It doesn't mean that a person is doing like everything perfectly. It means the idea is if a person, if you'd use it in the context as like saying, if a baby was born and they'd say the baby's perfect. In other words, it has all its fingers, toes and everything and its health is good. They would use it from that term as being perfect, but actually it means whole, it's sound. And that's what's going on. Being perfect here, mature, it says, listen to this, able to bridle the whole body. Now listen to this. Bridle the whole body. There's a one. These group of scriptures we're looking at is a wonderful revelation of understanding how to deal with things. We have today, and we're going to, as we look through this, we're going to look to, because today, you know, we have things. I remember, you know, when I worked at Lebanon County Prison, they used to have, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and drug, you know, the whole things there, you know, and all this doing. And I always thought the guys went through that. They always were fighting to stay sober. It was always a fight to stay sober because they're trying from the standpoint, they're just trying to stay away from the booze. They're trying to stay away from the drugs. They're trying to stay away from something, you know, somebody, you know, something. They're trying to, and so they're always this fight to go on to try to do this. And I started to understand about this too, as Christians go through this thing. Christians go through great struggles to try to deal with things in their life. And they're going through struggles. And it's always just, mostly just a natural battle, trying to overcome it something. And what James wrote here tells you how to do it. And see, I found out this is to be true. We find out here, stumbling in words, if you don't stumble in words, you can bring the whole body under, you can bridle the whole body. Now this is important because this has to do everything, now dealing, and we say the body, let's get this idea, it's the flesh. How do I keep the flesh under control? See, the flesh, we're dealing with, besides health, keeping the body under control health-wise, also keeping your body under control where we're trying to keep the desires of the flesh from dominating so we can live the Christian life we desire to, and we're not having the flesh, you know, doing things we don't want it to do. How do you do that? And this was a thing that God took me to as a young Christian, what I began to understand. I remember when I got the revelation, all of a sudden I saw it. If I can control my tongue, I can control my whole body. Wow. That became a revelation. Hold it. If I can control my tongue. You see, most people are trying to do this. They're trying to control their whole body by the law. Don't do this, don't do, there's nothing matter with knowing you're not supposed to do something, but I'm not supposed to do it, but how do I keep from doing it? You know, it's like, to me, I think one of the things I've noticed over the last number of years is, you know, ministers are doing a lot of these things about praying. We need to pray, we need to pray. And I think, quit telling people they need to pray unless you tell them what they're supposed to be praying. What are they supposed to pray? You know, you pray wrong things and and cause you more trouble than you had before you started praying. I mean, it's like we have this thing of throwing certain things out there, but they're not explaining. Nobody got a clue what on earth it's about. They don't know. And if we're going to tell somebody to pray, what I need to know is what I need to pray about. What do I need to be praying for? You know, it's just like with with Randall Greer. He's been talking about praying now for the last probably 3 or 4 years. He's been talking about just praying. And I just thought about it because when it came around, you know, he thought Trump was going to get elected and all this kind of stuff, and it didn't happen. He was upset, and I thought, you know, you did all that praying, but you missed it anyhow. So what did it do the good to pray? Isn't that right? Now, I'm not criticizing, but most Christians were in that boat. They wanted Trump. They're praying. None of it worked. Well, who cares if we're praying? People didn't even know why it didn't. We had all these ministers running around prophesying, saying all this stuff, and it didn't work. I'm walking around, and I'm thinking, I thought, man, you know, Ed, you must be nuts. All these people. All right. All these people are sitting around, yeah, Trump's going to be elected. All these people say, and me, I'm on the inside. It's like, something's wrong here. It ain't working. Why with me? I'm serious, folks. I was going to ask God, what's wrong with me? Why ain't I picking this up? In my spirit, I don't get this. I asked God so many darn times, what about Trump in the presidency? I just don't get it. These people are saying this. People were sending me things from ministries, and ministers are saying this and that. And I would send those things to other people that I knew that I figured pretty spiritual and ask them, what about that? Oh, yeah, boy, they're right on by, yeah, right. And I'm thinking, Ed, what's wrong with you? Why is it that you ain't got this? Well, you know what? I don't care how much you pray if you're not led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. It don't say as many as pray. Does it?
No.
See, if we're going to have a prayer life, at least should be Holy Spirit led. It would be a good idea. That would be a big help. If you can't hear what's going on in your spirit, you're going to do a lot. It's going to do what's in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, people can pray in tongues in the flesh. Oh. People don't realize. There's a lot of concepts in Christianity that I just... talking with Ken Kosick, I said, God's given me so much revelation in the last few years. I said, sometimes something sort of blows my mind. And I said, the thing that bothers me is this. As I said, I know this. I ain't the sharpest pencil in the drawer, and I hate to think how dumb most of these even ministers are. I said, man, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. People don't know. They don't even know they're missing it. We talked about this before. You can't grow up if you don't know where you're at. If you don't know what you need to know, if you don't understand, if you're not realistic with yourself about where you're at in your knowledge, you're not going to grow up. Because you're going to be, you know, most people continually seek after what they already know. What they already know, they're looking for. That's the things. They'll go study the things they already know. They'll look at the things and read the scriptures they already know. There's nothing matter with going over things again, but it's going after things you don't know. You know, a good scientist, you know, out here, some guy studying space and that stuff, he don't just keep looking at everything he can easily see. If he wants to learn anything new, he's going to look for stuff he can't see, look for things that are hard to find. We don't necessarily like to do that. And it's like me. And you guys have heard me. I'm a big questioner. I ask God about something. Don't make sense. I ask God. I say, God, I go to him and say, Lord, this don't make no sense. You know, why is this? Why is this? Why does this happen? What don't we know? What's wrong? What is it we don't know about things? If we want to change this, what is it that we don't understand? Right now, I would say in the church world, one of the things that people are dealing with it. Is this from the scripture says familiarity breeds contempt. Now we use that from a people standpoint, use it, but you know what it is with scripture? People know scriptures and can quote them, but really don't practice or know that they're really true. And you can never lose it. It has to become real to you that it can be done. You can never act in faith if you're not in that place where it's real to you. And it's things that you practice. It can't be just things we know. It has to be. Because what happens? You get familiar, and so you just think to yourself, I know. The Lord dealt with me years ago about it, and I learned a good lesson from it on some correction about things that I know that I wasn't doing and dealing with it. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter. It's what you can do. And you get away from doing things and practicing, yet you know them and you walk along, talk like you're walking in faith with them, and you aren't walking at all. And God corrected me for not walking in faith. And you know, that hurts your feelings. you think you're so smart. So I found out, you know, and it's under there, it is easy to have done something, and it's easy to go across scriptures and you hear them used so often that, you know, we're very familiar with them. But, so we never really get into them to find out, am I really believing this scriptures? Am I really? Is this book more than just say something people say? 80% of Americans that were surveyed said they believed the Bible was true. Did 10% of Americans even really believe the Bible? See, 80% said they believe it's true. Well, when I heard that, I just laughed and laughed and laughed. And I said, it's hilarious. They say they believe it's true. They don't even know what's in the thing. They don't know what's in the thing. They don't know what it's about. They don't know that, but they say, we believe it. So therefore, they think there's some kind of, that God's sitting up and going, wow, isn't that neat? Now, there's a lot of ministers would say, wow, isn't it? I've heard major spirit-filled ministers make statements about stuff like this and say, oh, there are a lot of Christians in America, 80% believe the Bible. I think, dear God, you don't even believe the Bible. You don't even know what's in it. Or you wouldn't have said anything so stupid. Somebody tells me they believe the Bible. That don't mean anything. I believe as much as I know is in here, and I found there's a lot I don't. There's a lot. I know the Bible is this. It is true. But there's a lot of it I don't know, really. There's the revelation of it I don't have. I just got to walk in the revelation of God. And you get more and more and more. And there's one thing about it. I think by year, I gained more revelation than I did before. I have learned so much more since after leaving Bible school. I mean, when I look back at Bible school, I think it is almost nothing to what I learned after Bible school. Almost nothing. Because of the revelation. See, you're always looking, because you always need to learn. It just never stops. Never stops. Now, getting over to this thing here, where if you and I can bridle, or in other words, keep our tongue, we can keep the whole body. I mean, I pray you take the time to really think about that. Because it's a powerful statement. Now, so this James comes along and does some very just... It's a bit, really simple illustrations. And at that time, he said, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that we may, they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. In other words, in their mouth, dealing with their mouth, we get to control the whole body of the horse. Now, usually, just think of how big a horse is. You go out here and get a Clydesdale. I mean, that's a lot of horse. You put a bridle in its mouth, and you can make that horse go in any direction you want it to go. Just put a bridle in its mouth. Just putting that bit in there, that horse will obey you. You just hope he don't step on you when you take it off. He'll squash you like a bug. But just think about that. So he's given the idea here of this thing. He said, look also to ship. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Did you ever see these big super tankers? Those things are enormous. And did you ever look at the size of the rudders on them? Now, the rudders are huge, but to compare to the size of the ship? Man, ain't nothing compared to the size of that ship. Yet that thing's turned that entire ship. We'll turn that thing. So, now he's giving this illustration. He said, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. In other words, doesn't take much to start a forest fire, does it? Now, we have it all over the United States all the time. People just do little things, or little things happen, don't seem to be much. You know, people throw cigarettes out. The loads of the fires have started that way. People go along. I know the years of traveling, especially out west and that stuff, and you'll see where fires burnt through places and that stuff, and you can tell where they started. Go along the highway. You can see where it started from and went out through. Somebody threw a cigarette out. It didn't take much, did it? And it just gets something burning, gets the flames going. So he's telling us there concerning that. So here he tells us the tongue is a little member, and in the same manner as it don't take much fire to start a forest fire, you can cause a big fire with a little tongue. A big fire with a little tongue. And a lot of people don't like that. Most everything starts off and things start with the tongue. This is one of the great problems that we deal with today because we have our social media and it's 99% garbage coming across things that are said are not. People don't guard their tongues. People don't watch the things that they say, they do, they go. They don't realize all these things. People having to tell people things and, you know, we have so much gossip and all kind of things, so much false things going on. There's, you know, it's people need to understand it's very hard to bring things under control in our country with social media. You almost can't do it. You can't do it. Because anybody can pump anything out there. And people today don't guard, you know, it doesn't matter what I don't like is there's certain things you don't say. And we as Christians really need to be careful in this area about what we say out here, you know, because there's all kind of people have all kind of opinions. We all have opinions, but dealing in the areas of truth, you know, I mean, I've listened to ministers and that stuff talk about their opinions on different things about why they're happening in the country. This is what I think. Well, you know, we need to be careful on that because, you know, some people do things because they have evil in their hearts. There's some people, they do dumb things, but they aren't really, they're not a bad person. They just did a dumb thing. They thought they were doing was the right thing to do. You need to know the difference before you open your mouth. So you just can't run and throw things out there like that. Or why a guy did it, you know. I was used to with different ones with Trump when he's the president, and different ones, and then when Biden got in, I started watching. And I always love these. You have these both sides. You'll have the Republicans talking about Biden, and they'll have 14 articles down through, and different senators and congressmen telling you why they believe he did such and such. All of them are their opinions. None of it has to deal with anything that nobody knows the truth. And they're all throwing their shot at what they believe why he did it. At least do that with Trump. They'd have all these things that they would pump out there that their tongue is pumping out things which are most all of it is false. Yep. And so you can't have that kind of things going on without having something go wrong. You can't be pumping out these words. You can't be pumping words out there and just frivolously throwing words. Think about it. Jesus said, you're going to be judged by every idle word that you spoke. That's what Jesus said. Now, I wonder if that's true. Or maybe that's just a makeup thing he did to scare people, but he really won't do that. So, it would seem that we're supposed to guard what we say. We should guard it a little bit. Because you know what? Number one, if I say 20 things that are false, and then I say one thing that's true, what's the chance when people think of it as false? They don't even listen to you what's true. See, this is what we need to be careful. I mean, we're saying things, and all these things are being said, and all this stuff is... It's like, hold it. You know, we didn't end up in this mess today like we have going on out here in our country because Biden became president. These messes have been running for decades. This is decades of a sinful nation that God's been trying to slow down, but has decided not to. And this stuff didn't happen overnight. In fact, there was people who saw these things coming and talked about them, and people ran them down. They saw the future. You know, the future wasn't hard for me to see. I didn't need to hear a special word from God. I watched what was going on in our country, and I know you can't let your stuff keep going like this. You can't do it. You can't be speaking words of evil and not have calamity come. It's an impossibility. Can't do it. But now we as Christians need to know this. Let's learn to govern our lives. Let's bring blessing into our lives. Most people, whether they want to, whether Christians or not, need to know that they face a lot of calamity in life. It had nothing to do with anybody else around them. It's words that they spoke, words that they said, not paying attention. Sometimes they didn't seem to be important at the time. But you need to watch. We've been teaching about the things that you get into your heart and you say your heart is going to try to bring it to pass. You need to understand that. And if it's wrong things, your heart is going to try to bring it to pass. Why do you, believe what you do? Now we have here this forest fire. Well, now a forest fire, we could think about it. I know lots of people just teach from the standpoint of this thing like gossip that goes out here. But it's more than that. You can start a forest fire in your own body health-wise. You can start a forest fire that you can't put out by wrong things said. You can start a forest fire where you get over in things you've been acting out in the flesh. You can't control it anymore because your tongue's gotten so far out of control. You can't control things anymore. It's like when I was saying about they had like the AA things. These poor guys have to stand up in every meeting and say, like, I'm a drug addict or I'm an alcoholic. Their confession out of their mouth is to say that I'm an alcoholic and they're trying to get delivered from it. And their confession is, I'm an alcoholic. Well, what's your heart going to try to do? Your heart's going to head for the bar. Your heart's going to head for the bottle. That's what it's going to do. And you can't get people to, I take you to spirit-filled churches and have these programs in their church and they talk about faith and they have the same kind of programs and people, they want people standing up making confessions that I'm an alcoholic. This is the way, admit what your problem is. We're supposed to make a confession of faith and your confession of faith shouldn't be what your problem is. It's like, that's what we're going to confess our problem till we get fixed. I don't see how even psychologically that sounds reasonable. But in psychology, it seems to be reasonable. I don't understand. If we keep confessing the problem long enough, it'll go away. All righty. It's just easier to drink. Then go through the fight. It is just easier to drink. And what do you mean you're putting people through that? It's putting through. So we need to know that this forest fire. Verse 6 he says, and the tongue, he said, is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now, we're going to understand this as we go along. He's talking here from a natural standpoint, from the natural human standpoint. He's not talking some point spiritually. In this world, most people are unsaved and they are acting out of their natural human inclination, the flesh. That's what they're following. The sinner's not spiritual. He's carnal. Now the church, the Christian's spiritual, but he can follow his flesh rather than his spirit. Now as he said, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So you can literally turn hell loose in your life. You can turn the devil loose, demons loose in your life through your tongue. Just many times people don't understand what's happening or going on to them, what is happening, and they don't realize they have done it through the things that they have said and by the things they won't say. They won't say. They keep following after, practicing. Understand this. When we talk about the tongue, it doesn't do any good to say words if we're not going to do those words, if we're not going to act upon them. You've got to act upon them. So people are not just going to say, because we have a lot of confession people, but they're not going to try to act on what the word says. And that wouldn't work. But here we need to understand that. The tongue can cause major problems. And this is what he's trying to bring across to people, is the tongue. He says, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile, and he says, and creature of sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Now, they use that word here, mankind, but if you look in the Greek in this, you'll find out there's actually two Greek words here, and it isn't mankind. It's dealing with the training of these. It's talking about really a human being, regular human being. In other words, a human person. In other words, it's a natural thing done. It isn't something spiritual that happens. He's not talking about that. He's not, but he says, in other words, natural human, the one that isn't even born again, they've learned to train animals and they've learned to do anything. But you know what? That person can't keep his tongue under control. There's only way, one way, and that's from a spiritual standpoint, that you can ever learn to keep your tongue under control. There is no other way. Spiritually, it's the only way to do it. So he says, but no man can tame the tongue, see the man himself. It says, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. He's speaking to Christians. See, there's Christians walking in the flesh. Does a spring, he said, send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grape bear figs? He said, thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Now we're dealing with this. This is one thing we need to understand, and I found this out, about success with the tongue. Because we can control the whole body. And this is one of the first things that I learned from the standpoint of dealing with divine health. Divine health is going to operate. You're going to do that. You're going to have to guard your tongue. You're going to have to watch the way you talk about sickness and disease. You're going to have to watch the way you do. See, too many people, you know, well, you know, I've heard Christians, oh, they believe in divine healing and all that stuff. And they say, well, you're just going to get sick. And they'll talk that stuff. Should I tell you what? You can't stop them from getting, they're going to get sick. They're going to need healed. They ain't going to keep it off of them. We have been so trained in our intellect concerning doctors. Doctors hold a higher place of faith with the average Christian, spiritual Christian, than God's Word does. And if the doctor says something, we will quote him. We will quote him, and we can't wait to quote it to two or three people. We can't wait to tell everybody what the doctor said. And people can't wait to come and try to question you about what the doctor said. You know, if I go to the doctor, I'd make my report before I go. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something, I remember him saying, I've heard him say it a number of times before he passed, but the first time I heard him say it, he said, I don't believe in sickness and disease. He said, I don't believe in it. He said, no, I ain't saying it don't exist, but he said, I don't believe in it. See, his whole idea of thinking is 100% different than 99.9% of Christians. See, he learned to guard his tongue. He said, I don't sit around and talk about it. See, people sit around and talk about it. They talk about health. Talking about those things, the way that people generally talk about and health and things happening, it's like, you know, with a lot of people, it's getting older. A lot of people getting older, they're going to lose their minds. Because if they talk about it, as you get older, you know, they make jokes. There's nothing funny about your mind going. And I'll tell you what, none of them be laughing when their mind goes. And it will. They sit around and joke and talk about it. You don't talk about those things. You talk yourself open, you open the door for the devil to come, take your mind away from you. And he'll run it for you. See, and people do this. They walk around, they say things, they're making stuff, and they're saying stuff. It's people don't understand the power of that, of what they're doing. See, your body, and it's like dealing with ourselves. If we're dealing with our flesh and want to bring our flesh under control in an area or something of we have where we want to quit something, especially you get people to have habits that they want to deal with, you got to learn to start talking right about things. Talk about seeing you got to get around to see yourself, according to Scripture, where you're delivered. Talk about being delivered, not talking about having the problem. People just want to talk about the problems all the time. You know, and they're going and asking 47 people to pray for them about the problem. Well, they believe they have it. How do you get them delivered from what they believe they have? They aren't asking you to pray to believe they're delivered. They'll believe when they're delivered, when everything quits happening and it all works. Well, there's no faith in that. See, you start talking about being delivered. See, I remember, listen, just in the areas of healing and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, it goes back when Kenneth Hagin used to travel. I learned these principles from him, and they work. He used to go to minister in churches, and they would have people where he ministered healing, and he would minister baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he would have people like, because he would be in churches sometimes many weeks. He would hold meetings for maybe sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, sometimes up to 9 weeks in a church. And they'd have people come out because people want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That wasn't the norm back yonder when a lot of people didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They wanted to. They had used to have the belief of you wait on God, you know, to get the Holy Ghost. They used to believe on that. But whether it was healing or baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he would lay hands on people to get filled with the Holy Ghost and healing. And he started to notice with people just were all the time they were coming, you know, every time to get hands laid on them. But nothing ever happened. They just come all the time. See, they want something. Because you want it, don't mean you're getting a thing. Wanting, God is not moved by your need, because if he was, everybody with a need would get it taken care of. Did you notice? God's a need provider, but faith is the vehicle. And he started doing this to people. He would tell people, now that maybe like certain nights, they don't have certain nights that they lay hands on people for baptism, Holy Ghost, and healing. They don't have certain nights. And so he'd tell people, he'd say, now look, for this next week come up, don't come up one time to be healed, or whether it was a baptism or anything. Don't come up one time. Don't come up. Because see, what happens? People, and I see this, I've watched it even in our church, where people would come for something numbers of times, and every time they did, I could tell they were getting further away from getting it. They get more and more into unbelief. Because they just keep going, and they're not operating in faith to receive it. They don't believe or receive a thing. They're coming back again, and next time they come back, their faith is weaker than it was before, and every time they come back, they're weakening their faith. Because they're trying to get, I know what their mind's running like crazy. I don't understand why I'm not, and it's going on in them. And he said this to people. He'd say, don't come up. He said, what I want you to do is every day, numbers of times, he said, when you go to bed at night, I want you to say, the next time Brother Hagin lays hands on me, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. He said, before you go to bed, you say that numbers of times. You speak it that you can hear it. He said, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do in the morning, you start saying that. Say that over and over a number of times. He said, do it the day, whenever you think of it, make that statement. And he said, keep doing that. And then he said, now you come up. He said, now he'd do the same thing for healing. When he lays hands on me, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to receive my healing in the name of Jesus. And he'd do that. And every time, he said, the majority of the time when that person came up, they got filled. How did it happen? They got the word in. They started speaking. They couldn't get their body under control. They were never saying the right thing, believing the right thing. He got them over to practice this. That's why you people heard me say, see, people get up, if at church somebody wants to get up, most people are silent, not saying a thing. They come up, you lay hands on them, and they're just Mr. and Mrs. Silent standing there, and they walk away. They don't say they got anything. See, I learned a long time. My mouth is how I make things work. That's how you do it. I lay hands, somebody lays hands on me, I don't care if I feel a thing or nothing seems to be happening. I don't care if somebody laid hands on me for healing and I felt 10 times worse when they laid their hands on me. I'd say, thank God I got my healing. Hallelujah. I wouldn't say anything else. Why? Because I want my body to go in the direction of my mouth. I don't want it to go in the direction of my feelings. I don't want it to go. And see, this is a simple, the Bible is clear on the subject, but people still are so practiced and following their feelings and talking their feelings and talking their junk. They don't get it. You can get people to open their mouth in a group in anything. But when it comes to open their mouth about something of faith, man, I'm going to taste like you put a muzzle on everybody. Scared to make a confession. Somebody might think I'm weird. Get over it. You are. I think you're weird because you don't. I think you're just downright weird. You gotta learn to say it. I don't care what anybody says about it. If I go forward and have hands laid on me, when I walk forward, I say, praise God, when he lays hands on me, I'm getting it. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that because I want my body to follow in line with my tongue. That's how you do it. I don't give a rip what you believe. If it ain't on your mouth, it ain't working. It don't matter. believing don't matter without a voice. See, that's why we're strange. See, God has people talk in tongues. See, the world don't like this stuff. World, you know what the world does? This is what the world has done to the Christian to be like they are. We don't care what your beliefs are. Just don't voice them. The church has shut up because the world doesn't like it. And so we don't say anything because we want them to like us. I don't give a rip. Hallelujah. I ain't staying sick for some idiot. Even if it's a Christian. Let's get well. Let's do something. Hallelujah. Folks, this is a wonderful thing. When I got this revelation to me, it was like, now I can do this. See, I can practice this. This ain't some hard. I don't have to do any great spiritual feats. I don't have to do any kind of thing. This is so darn simple. And when I first heard it, I thought, my God, this can be done. I've known how to start fires. I've done that. I've burned up a lot of acres in my day. But now I can use that. I can control my whole body. I can get my body to it. And I thought, man, I need this. Because I don't know about your body. Maybe you're just half dead. My body's still pretty much alive. Lots of new things that you do. It ain't dead. And you got to keep it under control. See, I learned to do that concerning things. I won't say any other thing than I love my wife. I won't say anything other than I will not talk anything. That's my wife. I love her. It don't matter. I don't care what happened. I don't care what goes on. I love my wife. I ain't after nobody else. I voice it. I say this thing. I ain't after nobody. You want to stay away from things? You get talking right. You keep your body under. See, eyes get looking someplace else, and after a while you start thinking about what your eyes are looking at, and after a while you're talking about what your eyes are looking after. And after a while you're over there after it.
Preach.
Yeah. You learn to talk what you want. See, I'm serious, you learn to practice this and practice over time, it just becomes such a natural thing. It just, you know, I can't imagine myself loving anybody else but her. I just can't imagine. Why? I've just said it so much. I mean, my spirit don't know nothing different. My spirit only knows it. That's it. That's my wife and I love her. That's it. It's all it knows.
Hallelujah.
And you just keep it. I don't try to stay in love with my wife. I've done talk myself into it. Well, you got to do that. That's what life is. You got to, and understand, the benefits of this are so wonderful because the average person out here is fighting all kind of things they would never have to fight. And they're trying by the law. They're trying with everything they can to stay out of problems and things and not get over into the wrong things. And they're doing a fight and they don't really, it's as easy as on your lips. Is to start saying, you know, you might start saying some things and boy, it does seem like a fight, but don't quit saying it. You know, I thought about it. When I first got a revelation of this, I had heard Ken Copeland talking on a tape was given to me of him. And he was talking about a guy a young man who came to him and said, you know, he just got born again and he was smoking. He said, I want to quit smoking. He said, I feel terrible doing it, but he said, I'm having a hard time with this. And Ken Copeland just said to him, said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, from now on, he said, whenever you light a cigarette up, you say, I don't smoke anymore. And he said, the guy just looked at him like, this is stupid, see, because psychology would never say such a thing. You know, they'd have some kind of program you have to go through and whatever. He said, just say, I don't smoke anymore. I don't, you know, so he sort of him hauled around with it, and Ken Copeland, I'm serious. I said, I want you to do that. Just go do this. So after, I don't know, it's like 3 or 4 weeks, this guy comes back to Copeland and sees Copeland. I don't know if Copeland remembered him. He was at a meeting. And he came to Ken Copeland and said who he was, and then Ken came, oh, okay. And he said, you know, I would say this. And he'd say, every time I light up a cigarette, I'd say, I don't smoke anymore. And he said, one day, he said, after a couple of weeks, he said, I took a cigarette out, lit it up, and he said, I said, I don't smoke anymore. And he thought, why on earth am I even smoking? And he said, I haven't smoked a cigarette since. It ain't bothered me at all. See, his tongue, what it was on his tongue, got into his spirit, and after a while he made a statement of faith, changed his life. See, people need to understand the power of these things. This is why, that's what Brother Hagin was doing to the same thing those people telling him. This is what you say. You keep saying this till when you come, you believe it. See, they would come trying to get something, but they weren't going to receive a thing. Because they weren't believing to receive anything. They were just seeing if they could get something. They wanted something. But they had to be able to receive it. And what he got them to do is believe they were going to receive it. And when they believed they were going to receive it, they came and got it. See, you know, it was all the times. I remember him talking about this. He said one guy came to him and said, he said, I've been for 13 years or something like that trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said it was that easy. All these years, he said, I spent what people say to do to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's all there was to it. You know what? If people understood, it's all it takes to get healed. It's all what you... But people just struggle. They have their ideas about how things go, how it works. They get their religious ideas and everything like that. And here James said this thing. But see, most people look at James and they think James is a sort of hard guy. He's a hard guy, you know. He's talking about, no, he's just telling us, man, your tongue can cause you and everybody else tons of trouble. Or it can be your great blessing. See, just you go the opposite side of the coin. Just as much trouble as the tongue can cause is the same way it could be a blessing on the other side. See, it's all which way the side of the mountain you're going up on. Most people are always on the negative side of the mountain about it. They're always crawling that mountain because that's where they live, on the negative over there. Well, I just got this problem. Well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. So, yeah, don't matter if I understand, but I do know the answer. I don't need to know what you're going through, but I know the answer. I know the answer, and it works. I've proved it over the years. There's things that you do, and you just keep saying, and you just keep talking, and you just keep doing. See, I learned, you know, in life about things as people. You know, these people, I can't be struggling in life, like getting up and going to work, how they complain about going to work. I never complain. When I got to be a Christian, never complain one day about going to work. Thank God I can get up and go to work. I can make money. Hallelujah. I can get up and go to work. See, if you don't like getting up and going to work, it's your mouth's your problem. It ain't your work's your problem. It's your mouth is your problem. Woo-hoo-hoo! Ain't that fun? See, look, I'm telling you, I got saved. I found out I was starting forest fires is what I was doing, a lot. And I realized all the fires I started in my life. This is why a lot of Christians, they don't have no joy in life, because their mouth ain't no joy. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm so glad it's Friday. Hey, I like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday just as much. Because I get blessed on those days too. And I have found out weekends ain't no such great blessing just because it's a weekend. And those people ain't happy on the weekend either. See, but I started setting myself. I'm going to make my life good. That's what I'm going to use my mouth to make my life good. I enjoy working. I do. I like to work. See, I don't ever see any difference. I like to work. I know people, they say, oh, they want to retire. They want to retire. Well, good to retire. I don't want to. I like to work. I like to be productive. I like to do something. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I don't want to work, man, I'm going to go home and be Jesus. I ain't going to stay here with all the rest of the nuts. That's right. I'm going to go leave. Why not? I mean, what is the purpose? It isn't. We're not just trying to fill a space in here in the earth, are we? You know, you get older, you might want to change jobs or do something else, but do something productive in life. Be a blessing to somebody, you know. Instead of, you know, just getting up in the morning whenever you want to, going around doing stuff and complaining, you're going to need a doctor. Well, I probably have to move in with one. If you ain't doing nothing, you don't need health. You have no need of health if you ain't doing anything. Health's for somebody who's going to use it.
That's right.
You know, use it. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just glad to have health, man. And we got health and be productive, be a blessing. See, learn to speak in your life. And see, this is the whole thing because our flesh can really cause us a lot of trouble on what it does. You know, something happens to your flesh and your flesh just wants to get whiny. yeah, this happened to me or that happened to me, and I did this. It does. What's getting whiny? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just as God. The rest of you are real spiritual, and you don't have these troubles. just me, you know. And I got to deal with my flesh, you know. Some mornings I wake up and my confession is, flesh, shut up. We're getting out of bed. We got to do. Hallelujah! Jesus is still Lord this morning. Glory to God. And you almost feel like you're lying when you say it. You know, your flesh is saying, no, pull the covers over your head and take another snooze. I just. Oh, my. I can't call off sick. I don't have any sick days. It's got to stay well. But see, learning to do that, as I've learned it. I learned it over the years of making confessions. I've learned from health-wise, like I've told the stories concerning, like, you know, at times of when I know with having my back out one time and going to church. And I'm going to tell you, I was in pain. My back was out and, man, I was in pain. And Wanda said to me, are you going to go to church like that? Because, I mean, I got dressed. I'm going to tell you, it took me a long time to get dressed. I mean, I was in pain. My back. And, you know, I'm making good confessions. But my back is yelling at me another confession. You know, it had its confession. And, man, I'll tell you, it's painful. I mean, I was in just such severe pain. I mean, I had tears. I was just to move. And so I had to be very careful how I moved or anything like that to keep from having pain. And I'm going to go to church and I'm going to have to get in the car. You know, and then you get in such a way to while you're all right, but boy, getting in, and then the worst thing is getting out when you, oh man. So your mind's running on those things. See, the natural mind. He said, I'm saying I'm healed. And Wanda said, you're going to church? I said, I have to go. Because I said, if I don't, I'm going to stay like this. I said, it's going to be this way for a long time. See, I've known experience in life. I know. I said, you're going to have to step out into a place that ain't nice. And when I told her that, I had to pick my briefcase up to leave the house. I had a briefcase and I picked it up and oh my God. Man, pain. Oh, when I picked that briefcase up, I was like, oh, I wanted to sort of agree with her. Maybe I ought to stay home. I just said, no. But you know, I went to church. See, I just kept making confession. I just kept saying, this is hallelujah. You know, I'm healed. That's what the Bible says, that I'm healed. So it must be true. God doesn't lie. I'm healed. And my body said, no, you're not healed. What's wrong with you? But I knew it was in my heart. I knew in my heart the word was true. And I would not say any other thing than my heart would say. I wouldn't say anything else. I wouldn't say anything else. I wouldn't talk anything else. I've done this kind of thing so many times on things. You know, it's the things that you go through, and I could sit and tell story after story of things that happened to me. But there I just turned around and I went to church and I got to church and whew, didn't feel a bit better. Oh my God. You know, and you wanted to go sit down and rest, but you couldn't do it. You sit down, you had to get up. It's like, oh, I don't want to sit down because I don't have to get up. Because there's things I got to do here and I don't want to, so I just got to stay up. But, you know, as I walked around, as things going until church started, I started feeling pretty much better, a whole lot better. And praise God, when the service started, the anointing come on me and that was it. Never bothered me and never bothered me since. But you know what? You keep, you talk in a direction. I wouldn't say any other thing than what my heart knew was true. I wouldn't say anything else about it. Yep. See, that's the battle we go through. The battle isn't all these things that people talk like, you know, we're out here trying to fight Satan. A lot of time our fight is about our body. It's about dealing with our mind and our spirit. Many times Christians know exactly what to do in their heart. They know exactly what. They're believing the right thing. But getting them to say that when their flesh is yelling something else so loud, they keep saying what the flesh says. They keep saying what the flesh is yelling. That's the battle. My flesh is yelling this problem. Say, yeah, flesh, you're going to have to get over it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to still be insane. And over time, I found this out. My body quit resisting me about things over time. You know why? It knew I was going to do certain things anyhow, no matter whether it yelled. You can train. You see, you can train your flesh. You can train your whole body. You can train your body. You know what? That horse, when I was young, I used to be a lot lighter in those days, and I used to use me sometimes to breaking horses. And see, there's one thing about him. You get him doing something, you keep forcing him to do something, After a while, at first it's a hard thing to get him, force him to do something. But once you get him over to try to do it, after a while, just they'll start doing it because they find out that you won't give up on it. They'll give up and they'll start doing it. Doing what you want them to do. And that's, your body's identical. Your flesh is the same way. After a while, your flesh says, they ain't going to give up on this thing, so I might as well shut up. We might as well get over this thing. We might as well figure it out. He ain't going to quit. But see, if you do things long enough, then stuff comes along. And you, like things that your flesh used to recoil against and have a hard time with, whether it's people or whatever it is, your marriage relationship, sometimes you have a little falling out. If you've never had one of them, you aren't married anyhow. So you don't know nothing about it. Everybody's had it. But you know what? If you've set yourself to love that person, that stuff, your flesh won't talk you out of that. It won't, it get to the point it won't even try. It knows it ain't going to work anyhow. But you know what? If you're on a person that walks over and knows how to do that, your flesh will get you looking. Boy, I wish I'd have married somebody else. I wish I'd have done. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. I made a mistake with this one, and you're the mistake. Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. You're the mistake. See, you get over there talking. It don't matter the problems we have. It ain't going to separate us. It ain't going to do it. Ain't that big.
Amen.
You just settle that going into it. It just makes it don't matter what. We're sticking to, see, in things in life, I'm sticking with God no matter what. I don't care what happens.
That's right.
I don't care if everybody around me drop dead and don't seem faith works at all. I'm sorry, I didn't talk myself into this thing and I ain't quitting it.
Right.
I'm not stopping. This is the way I'm believing, it don't matter. It's just the way that it is. And get yourself, set yourself in that manner. Set yourself. I mean, meditate on these things and see. Look at this thing, the pot of size. I can easily do this. I can set myself. If you find out what the Bible says about something, just start saying what that says about. Say that about yourself. Say that about your body.
Amen.
Begin to speak. It's a wonderful thing. Rather than going through this whole thing of trying to do stuff, and really it's a work and a wearing against yourself. And, that's why so many people, make changes in their lives and certain things and for a certain period of time, and after a while they're back to where they were. The average person, it's like with going into, this is why they do this thing, and they've learned this psychologically. They've learned this stuff with dealing with people with drug addictions and stuff. A lot of these places you go to for 90 days. You know why? Does anybody know why you go for 90 days? Because the average person for 90 days can stop doing a certain thing. But after 90 days, the average person will pick it up again and do it. So they make send you a drug thing, and they send you for 90 days, you're free. Aha, you're good. See, they did their job. But actually what happens is only 7% of those people actually stay free. They know, that most people are going to go back. They know that. You can get people to do stuff. See, I want something to last. I want more than a 90-day. I don't want more than a 90-day Christianity. See, that's why many people come to Christ and for a few months follow after things, and they're gone. They're shallow. They have nothing in them. They have nothing in their spirit. They haven't put anything in there. The only thing they got in them is the same junk that they've been saying and they've been doing. And after a while, they're just back over. And see, change might sound good for a while, but, after a while, your flesh wants to do something different again. Your flesh wants to, yeah, I'll tell you what, I could give me another drink or, hey, let's get another fix. I'll tell you, that'd be nice. I remember the fun we used to have getting high, maybe we ought to go try that one again, People start, like, they go back to that stuff. They start talking those things. They start looking back. They start seeing. They haven't been speaking things. They haven't been putting in stuff into them. I wasn't thankful because when I got saved, I started putting the word in me like crazy. I just started putting the word in me. I listened to Kenneth Hagin and stuff. I believed it, and understood it, that, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And see, I just believe I got saved. I believe to be free of alcohol. As an alcoholic, I was free. I wasn't going to try to get free. I just thank God I heard the message that I was free. I wasn't trying to get free. Most wonderful thing. See, because everybody else are trying to get free. I have Christians all the time trying to get free of stuff. You don't know you've already been set free? They don't know. Always trying to get free. See, their confession isn't they're free. Their confession is they're trying to get free. Yeah, if I could just arrive at this place. See, now Jesus already set you free. Mm-hmm. You start talking every day. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And your body's saying, you idiot, you liar. You. That's what your flesh will say. You know I want a fix. You know I need a drink. Why don't you stop that? And say, thank God I'm free. Hallelujah. Jesus set me free. You know I don't drink anymore. Saying those things in your flesh is like, you liar, you want to drink and you know it. And then the devil comes with his cousins. Yep. He comes and brings people to you and offers you a drink. You get those things. But you just, praise God, I'm free. Thank God I'm free. I don't drink anymore. Hallelujah. I'll never forget with drinking when the Lord spoke to me and said to me after I got born again, he said to me, did you notice you don't have to drink anymore? You know, that was a revelation to me because I could never see myself before not drinking. I could never see. And I looked and I thought, yeah, I don't have to have a drink anymore. Before, I could have never seen myself not having to have a drink. I mean, you just, you know. I understand what a drug addict goes through. You just can't see yourself not stoned. You just can't see yourself. You can't see it. And all of a sudden, you have a choice. I never had a choice. I never had a choice before. I thought, I have a choice now. I can walk off in freedom or I can drink. I can do whichever one. But I was never like that before. I don't have to. I thought, wow, that's awesome. I don't have to. See, that's the most wonderful revelation I found out. And Wanda thought I was crazy. Poured all my booze out. And she was thinking, she wasn't saved at that time. So I'm pouring all my booze out, my liquor and everything. And she's like, he's dumping all that money down the drain. Money was pretty important to us back then. We have a lot of it. And I'm dumping it. Hallelujah. So praise God. God's good.
Amen.
So meditate on those things in there about that. See the power that God's put into your hands.
Amen.
His word will work in us. His word's powerful. His word's anointed. It'll work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you tonight for your goodness, kindness, and mercy in Christ Jesus. And Father, I want to thank you for all the wonderful answers in the book. Father, the insight that you give us. And Lord God, your graciousness and kindness to us is so wonderful. And Father, I am so grateful and thankful for the Holy Spirit as a teacher to reveal these wonderful things to us and give us understanding and, Lord God, how to put them into practice. And Father God, I want to thank you because we know that they're going to work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, you've set us in this earth and you've blessed us, Lord God. You put us here and to make us a blessing. And Father, you want us to walk in a much richer place of blessing than we've ever been in, especially in this day and time and our nation, what's going on. Lord God, we don't need to be a curse to this land. We need to be a blessing to this land. Hallelujah. We need, Lord God, that men would look and see, you know, there is a God in heaven, that God has visited these people, that God shows up. Hallelujah. And that they know there's a God. And so we thank you, Father. The good work that you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, you're going to fulfill your good pleasure in us. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is going to live big in us as Lord. And we thank you for it all in his wonderful name. Amen. Amen.